Back here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Derek McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Todd Walker. He's such a swell guy. He's nice enough to do this on his birthday. Of course, we're going to talk a little SEC baseball.
And let's also say to Todd that we are all up on our LSU baseball history because the Skip Bertman biography has been
on a loop.
It's been on a loop. I've seen it like four times because of all the rain delays on SEC Network. So, Todd, I know everything about LSU baseball now.
Can we find you in this LSU loop on SEC Network, Todd?
That's hilarious because I've been watching it too. And you pay them enough money, they'll put you out there. You know, this is my one time a year I get a little identity. So, man, it's been fun to watch and stuff I didn't even know. So it's kind of cool.
You're down currently 8-7 to the Hurricanes. I have a feeling you guys are going to come back and win. I really do.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
Yeah, put your money on Warren Morris.
That's right.
And there it is, down
like
the third baseline.
A million to one for him to come up big in that game. Well, you win a lot of money.
Well, speaking of LSU, they certainly humbled Vanderbilt to end the regular season at the Hawk. Boy, the bats exploded. What did you see in that series? Man, it's rare you see teams come in, and obviously Tennessee swept Vanderbilt earlier this year, but LSU and that offense, boy, they really took it to Vanderbilt over the weekend.
You know what's great about this game is you can't predict it. Like, yeah. I've been in it my whole life, and they get swept by Ole Miss the week before, did LSU, and a weaker pitching staff, I would say. In Baton Rouge, they only score 9 runs. They didn't have Jacob Berry. Then they go to Nashville against a really nice pitching staff. I mean, we all know that. Carter Holton didn't throw. So, I mean, that's not the whole reason, but, you know, that would have helped. They get Jacob Berry back in that lineup. And regardless of what he does, you know, in terms of stats, just that you get your main guy back in the lineup makes a difference. And I think that's part of it. They moved Dylan Cruz up to the leadoff spot. So Jay Johnson kind of shifted that lineup around a little bit, and it worked. It worked, and it's incredible. But LSU, see, LSU has to score that many runs. They kick the ball around, and when Mikhail Hillier's not on the mound, they're going to walk some guys and give away a lot of free passes. But in the games when they win, you know, 21-10, like they did in Nashville and certain games like that, then obviously errors and walks don't matter. But when they're tight, that's when LSU gets in trouble because they give away more free passes than the other team.
You played on really good LSU teams. You understand what it's like to have a target on your back. Tennessee is going to have a target on their back, and it's unfair expectations, but guess what? It's the expectations they've created when you have a regular season. They did. It's like anything short of at least playing in the national championship game, right, is going to fall short of expectations. People are going to be like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. How did that happen? What is it like? Because you got the SEC tournament, you've got regionals, you've got super regionals. There is still, as you said, or as you know, a long path. It's like here's season two to get to the finish line, and everybody's gunning for you. What's that like?
I didn't care. You know, I mean, you're gonna play your best. That being said, as you know, the stat, since 1999 when they started all this super regional stuff, that first year Miami was number one in the country and they won the whole thing. Since then, what is that, 22 years, not counting 2020, 23 years, no number one has ever won the national championship. So it's baseball. We know baseball. I mean, you know, any given day, anybody can show up and beat you. Then how do you play when your back's against the wall? How do you play with that kind of pressure? So we've talked about, is Tennessee the greatest team of all time? As of right now, yes, but you said it perfectly. There's two different seasons. You've got to win the second season also to be considered the greatest team ever, which means you're going to have to play with pressure on you. You're probably going to lose a game somewhere along the line where you're down to one game with your season on the line. You might have somebody get injured, so you have to replace him with somebody, and they've got to do well. You've got to have people do things that you don't expect them to do. Like, not that we don't expect Spencer Jones to do what he's doing, but good Lord, that guy's coming on big time here, and so is Enrique Bradfield Jr., you know. So, but those aren't even good examples. I'm talking about somebody off the bench or somebody you hadn't played a whole lot that steps in and does something great. And then ultimately, you got to have a little bit of luck. I mean, Oregon State 2018, they were beat, but they plopped a – now you could, you know, say what you want about Arkansas and the fly ball in right field and the triangle, but it could have easily been right at first base. It could have easily been right up in the air of the pitcher. It just so happens. So you got to have luck too. And so we had this debate, like, is Tennessee the greatest team ever? They are right now. Statistically, nobody's better. But we were saying, do they have to win it all to still be considered? And the answer is yes. I think they've got to finish that second half of the season, like you said.
Yeah. We've also talked on this show about, and we talked to Tim Corbin and, you know, periodically on this show, and just we've talked to him for a long, long time. Just, and we always try to gauge, like, what is the level of the play in the conference? I mean, the SEC is always so high when it comes to baseball. But in my opinion, and we've kind of differed a little bit, I kind of feel like this year is down a bit. And I know we're just sitting here talking about Tennessee and their dominance, and we can go through the good teams, but I kind of feel like it's top-heavy. It's not all the way from top to bottom as heavy as it's been in the past. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think the first time we had this knee-jerk reaction thinking the SEC's down this year is because all the aces they've lost, and then watching, you know, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter do their thing last year, and then all these big-time aces, and that was the storyline, and Landon Sims and Will Bednar at Mississippi State and all these, you know, these big-time arms. This year, they're just not there. They're not there. And so I think that's why we say that. The offense clearly is. They've scored more runs per game in the SEC this year than they ever have with the, in the BB Corps era. So the offense is there for sure. But I think that's why we say that, because, you know, the lack of aces are missing. And in the end, baseball is all pitching. You have to have the arms, the aces. And that's why I've been saying this all year. And then they, you know, like you said, Vanderbilt got swept by LSU there at the end. But I've been saying Vanderbilt's going to make a run. They are. Their numbers are too good. They've got all the pieces in place. They got the leadoff guy. Thomas Schultz isn't a dominant closer, but he's a good closer. The arms they have on, if Devin Futrell can kind of get comfortable in that spice role, you know, where he's, you know, having to pitch on the openers on Friday nights and that elevated expectation. Because, you know, Tim Corbin, I think he told you guys that too. He was hesitant to move Devin out of the weekday because he's a freshman. And, you know, he was cruising. And that's this. Now you're seeing why he was hesitant to do that, because it just changes. Just because you're dominating in one role doesn't mean you're going to dominate in another role. And but I think Devin Futrell has a lot of talent, so I think he'll kind of, you know, get comfortable. But I still think Vanderbilt's going to make a run. They won last night. Whether or not they win the SEC tournament, I don't know. But somewhere along the line, they're going to win a regional, and they're a scary two seed for sure.
Todd Walker is with us, former LSU star, doing work, of course, for the SEC Network at the SEC Baseball Tournament. Todd, there's two issues that I want to get your take on that I think are sort of college baseball topics right now, and certainly down there. And that is, you just mentioned, you know, Vanderbilt's best pitchers are freshmen in high school, and even the unique case of Christian Little, who is really the age of a college freshman, but in his second year. But you contrast that with the fact that after COVID and the transfer portal and the number of things lining up, you've got generally an older college baseball player on the average this year. What effect do you think that's having on the game?
I think of my own situation. So we had a guy named Tookie Johnson, played second base at LSU. He was the best second baseman ever to play at LSU. They win the national championship in 1991. I came in the fall of 91, and Tookie Johnson left. And so my thought was, if the transfer portal was available back then, I wouldn't have played, or maybe get stuck in left field. Not to mention COVID year, where Tookie Johnson would have come back. But the transfer portal, they definitely would have gone out and filled that role with somebody that had 800 plate appearances in 4 years at another school, and I wouldn't have played. So to answer your question, I think it's changed in the fact that you can't develop young kids, and that's what's unique about Vanderbilt and Tennessee, is you've got these freshmen and sophomores, like you just mentioned, that are getting a ton of experience early. So they're built for the future, which is great. That's what you want. You want a little combination of both. But that being said, you got the freshman arms going up against Texas A&M's lineup, who's all older kids. Auburn doesn't have a sophomore in that lineup. It's all juniors and seniors. And so it's got to be intimidating to a certain level. And I still think of Futrell's situation, where now all of a sudden, you know, you get put on a weekend against these older guys. It has to affect you a little bit in the short term. And maybe he's got comfortable by now, a few starts under his belt in that role. But I think it affects you because, you know, you're facing, if you're an 18, 19-year-old kid, you're facing 24-year-olds, which never happened 20 years ago.
Never happened, for sure. Todd, here's another one for you. And I played just a few years before you did. I played against Tookie. I can remember that very, very well down at Alex Box Stadium. That weekend didn't go great for us. I can tell you that. But, you know, the bats, that's always something that college baseball has had to keep an eye on. And now you've got that contracted minor league system. College baseball is such a great product. But I see some reminders of back in the day where, you know, it was really hard to evaluate pro prospects because the bats were so different than the wood. I think they've done a pretty good job the last 10 or 15 years, and it's a really fun thing to watch college baseball because of it. But I see some remnants now, and, you know, not accusing anybody, but it seems like there's things being done to the bats a little bit. So how do you try to keep that and preserve that product that we all love?
I feel like it's level now, right? Because 2011, we started using the BB cores, and 11, 12, 13, there were no offense, right? Then in 15, they came up with what they called the tightly wound seamed baseball that had a little smaller seams. The pitchers had a tougher time gripping the seams and throwing off-speed pitches and curveballs with more bite. And so it made the offense a little better. And I think without really knowing, I think you're right, there's something a little tweaked with the bats as well. But I feel like, and I'm a hitter now, so I'm biased, but I feel like it's even now. It's pretty level. You don't go to TD Ameritrade or ever, whatever the new thing is in Omaha now, the new sponsor, that ballpark at the College World Series, and have 2-1 ball games all the time with nobody being able to hit a home run, right? So now it's, I feel like it's a little more level and even at this point.
All right, Todd, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Hopefully the rain will clear and we'll get all the games in here. I'd love to see Vanderbilt take another crack at Tennessee, but let's hope we don't have to wait until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night to watch that game. But somehow I think might have to get a nap in this afternoon.
Well, I get a nap in every day, but I promise you that Vanderbilt's going to make a run. Watch them. You know, I said it today, and I've been saying it all year. They're gonna do something special. A lot of exciting games for them in the future.
All right, Todd. Thanks a lot. Todd Walker joining us from down in Hoover, Alabama, for the SEC tournament in a rain delay right now. A lot of games on the docket. Vanderbilt is scheduled to play Tennessee in the third game, but there's rain in the forecast on and off throughout the day, so we'll see about the start time.
We already know, Willie, the third game has already become the fourth game.
Mm.
So yesterday's fourth game is now today's first game.
Right.
So we're already a full day behind.
We're already
a full game behind.
Yeah, it's already funky. It's already funky. That's all I can tell you. All right, we're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase right after this.